You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, a new report revealed that New Zealand has the worst rates of homelessness in the OECD. The Yale University report, which ranked homelessness rates in developed countries per capita, had New Zealand at number one, with around 40,000 people, or one in every 100 deemed to be homeless. This includes people living on the street, in cars, garages, or in substandard accommodation. The report said that causes of homelessness across countries are multifaceted, but the some factors stand out. These include shortages of affordable housing, privatisation of civic services, poverty, unemployment, family breakdown, and a lack of services and facilities for those suffering from mental illness or substance abuse. The report added that a continuation of homelessness, especially among wealthy countries, reflects denial and the lack of political will to address poverty and homelessness. Social Housing Minister Amy Adams rejected the report, saying the survey did not have consistent comparisons from country to country. Adams says government estimates were that the number of homeless in New Zealand was closer to 4,000. Massey University lecturer and researcher into homelessness Darren Hodgetts says that is nonsense and that Adams is making stuff up. I spoke to him to get his thoughts on the report and what needs to be done to address the homelessness crisis.
I guess firstly, we had this new report released last week that showed New Zealand now has the worst rates of homelessness in the OECD. Are you surprised by the results of that report?
Not at all, and I don't think the government should be surprised either. Enough people have been telling them this for over a decade now.
And the report showed that 40,000 people are homeless in New Zealand. Now, that is a significantly large number of people, isn't it?
Yep, and it's going to grow.
How did it get to be this many? Because it has just continued to get worse and worse.
Well, I think there's a whole range of factors. I mean, homelessness is the sharp edge of poverty, and poverty's growing in New Zealand. And I don't buy the idea that there is no real poverty in New Zealand. It's not like Botswana or whatever. That's just nonsense, and there's a bit of ignorance that comes with that. When you're talking about street homelessness, you're talking about some pretty basic levels of poverty, and I think it comes from a range of factors. We are a more inequitable society, and the government, of course, will go to statistics and say there has been no change in wealth and all the rest of it. The reality is wealthy people hide their wealth, and they hide their incomes. That's what trust do and all the rest of it. So they can't actually reliably say that. And we've got all the other indicators that show that we're getting more inequitable. People don't have enough to live on. Most people in poverty in New Zealand are actually working, but we don't pay enough because we're a low-wage economy. And a lot of this is down to the current government's policies.
Now, Social Housing Minister Amy Adams, she's rejected this report and says that the number of homeless is closer to 4,000. What do you make of that?
She's just making stuff. I mean, look, we've had enough of national ministers just making figures up. They've been found out every time. So why would we believe them now?
And what sort of factors drive people into homelessness and what keeps them homeless?
I think there's a range of factors. There is no one panacea. I mean, I think things like Housing First work for some people. They don't work for others. And it's a range of factors. When we looked at 100 homeless people, we wrote a paper about this, about 90% of them came from precariat households. So they came from poor families. They started sleeping out as kids. They had few options. They could do that because they developed skills and street smarts. And then even when they were working, they thought, well, I could pay this exorbitant rent so someone else doesn't have to work for their retirement, or I could actually just crash out under a bridge and go to work from there. So those people kind of drift into homelessness. And then we've got people who tend to drop into homelessness. So these might be a person who's maybe a little bit socially insecure and nervous. They've been living with their mum, say, and their mum passes away. They lose their job, and then they don't have social networks, and they end up on the streets. Those are the ones that people can get off the streets a lot easier because services are orientated to them. You can wrap them around them, get them some supported housing, and usually they're away.
Mm-hmm.
We've also got all those children that have been removed from families and put into SIS care, and then many of them were being dumped at 17, couldn't hold a tenancy, and so a lot of them ended up on the streets. And some of the people that we've worked with who are now in their 40s and 50s have come through that. They get involved in crime and gangs, and then they get this revolving door between prison and homelessness and so on. And that is really hard stuff to deal with.
Now, there seems to be a bit of a stigma in New Zealand around the homeless, where a lot of people seem to think it's their own fault for being homeless, or they choose to be. Where does this come from?
Well, it comes from selfishness and ignorance. I mean, it's very convenient if you're a property speculator to take no responsibility for the inflation of house prices as other people play Monopoly, and the taxing of others for your own retirement because you really don't want to work for a living. So a lot of those people tend to be property investors, they tend to be quite conservative, and they tend to actually not have a clue about what they're talking about. Many have probably never even met a homeless person. And I think this blaming of the poor for being poor just isn't backed up by any empirical evidence.
It seems to be a bit of a stigma that even the general kind of public seem to get on board with as well.
Well, I don't know about that. I know a lot of concerned people about street homelessness. I think the reason this is on the media agenda is it is starting to disturb people. We're seeing the visible signs of poverty a lot more in our society as we get more inequitable, and if we keep going the way we are, it's just going to get worse.
You mentioned you're hearing a lot from concerned people. What sort of things can the average person do to help people who are homeless?
Well, I was on a night shelter trust for a long time, and night shelters aren't ideal, but at least they do something and they re-engage people. And a lot of the donations from that and the payment for it, we applied to MIMBY for funding. We couldn't get it because we weren't offering individual contracts. The bureaucracy was just ludicrous. And so we actually, as a group of trustees, took out a $700,000 loan, set up and expanded our service, and we paid that loan by often small donations from church groups and other community groups. And there were a lot of people who were making monthly donations because they were really concerned about the issue. So I think if people are concerned, you can help the person interpersonally if you want. You can give to a charity. You can change the government.
What sort of things are currently being done to help the homeless at the moment?
Well, I mean, there's always a range of things. There's amelioration, which is your food banks, mission outreach, that try and ameliorate the harshest impacts. I know the council's got a project around in Auckland around Housing First, and they're working with service providers. But the reality is we can do all we want to house people, but we're not going to turn off the tap. Until we change our policies that are driving this, it's not like 40,000 people all of a sudden decided, hey, I want to be homeless. It's just a ludicrous explanation. The reality is this stuff comes from economic inequalities and a lack of social care, the undermining and underinvestment in social services. We've undermined core government welfare services and we've expected charities to pick it up, but a lot of those charities have been driven broke because of all the compliance costs, the lack of full funding of services, so that this government can generate an invisible or a fake surplus to then give back to their supporters in order to get re-elected. And it really is that sick.
So basically, if we keep going down the same track we're going down with the current government, policy-wise, things are just going to stay the same and, like you said before, even get worse.
Well, why wouldn't they? And increasingly, like all this social investment nonsense is just the application of a US-style system that runs twice the poverty rate that we do. So we adopt failed policies from overseas, we're just going to get failed results. It's not rocket science. For a long time, when we had proper state housing and infrastructure and we invested in that, we didn't have these problems. When we paid living wages, we didn't have these problems. And I think we really do have to start looking at the rental market. We have to look at clawing back some tax and some gain from those people and reinvesting it in social housing. I think the government's privatisation of state housing is a disaster. All they're doing is handing over public assets to private providers. You look at Glen Innes and that, a lot of those houses are not going into social housing. They're going into normal standard housing. And sure, they might have the same amount of dwellings, but they're a lot smaller, don't have sections, and all that land has been handed over to private providers. It's just a stupid model.
I don't know. And frankly, the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.